The Poor Wife of the Billionaire. Chapter 101. So-called Proof. The sudden voice made all heads turn to the door of the room. A woman dressed in a well-ironed suit and heels walked in. Her curly blonde hair bounced as she walked. Annabelle squinted at her. This woman must be Marilyn Diaz, the new chief designer hired by Love Jewelry, the so-called designer of the Let Yourself Go series. Marilyn walked up the stage in an imposing manner. She snatched a microphone from a reporter and shouted, "It's ridiculous that Annabelle Hewitt here accused Love Jewelry of plagiarism. We have never stolen or copied anyone's work, not even that of Benton Group." Her shout caused an uproar in the room. The reporters began to discuss excitedly. Press conferences were usually boring, so it was interesting to witness this drama for a change. A satisfied smile tugged at the corners of Marilyn's lips as she watched the rowdy audience. To add fuel to the fire, she uttered in a much louder voice, "Miss Hewitt, you just said that the Ice and Fire series was done a month ago and even got two men to testify to that, didn't you?"
"Yes, I did," Annabelle replied, folding her arms, keen to see what this woman was up to.
With a smug smile, Marilyn said, "In that case, I'm certain that you stole my design for Let Yourself Go." The troublesome young reporter asked Marilyn, "Do you have evidence to back your claim?" Marilyn sneered, "I actually finished the design for Let Yourself Go 2 months ago. Since Benton Group came up with Ice and Fire a month ago, isn't it obvious who the plagiarist is? But as far as I know, Let Yourself Go was only announced in the media 2 days ago. How can you prove that Benton Group copied your work?" the reporter inquired further. Marilyn waved the magazine in her hand and said, "As I said earlier, my design was published in a fashion magazine just days after I was done with it. I recently signed a contract with Love Jewelry, so Let Yourself Go was realized just 2 days ago." Annabelle watched as Marilyn and the reporter echoed each other. Her suspicion was confirmed. Love Jewelry sent their minions to cause a disruption here and sabotage the success of Benton Group's new series. Marilyn also showed up, bringing the so-called evidence to prove that Benton Group plagiarized. Annabelle was going to allow her to enjoy the attention for a while. While all this was happening, Heather was smiling from ear to ear. The plan she had made was supposed to be set in motion during the celebration dinner in the evening. However, it was thrilling to watch things go downhill for Annabelle during the press conference. Her greatest enemy was being disgraced at such a crucial moment. This was sure to cause a lot of trouble for Benton Group. Heather believed that Rupert wouldn't tolerate such a big mistake. After all, he valued the business more than anything. He would fire Annabelle at the very least. Heather still had a big surprise for Annabelle up her sleeve. She was confident that she would be able to get rid of her tonight. Heather chuckled as she watched the exciting live drama. The reporter asked Marilyn respectfully, "Can you show us this fashion magazine?"
"Of course."
Marilyn smiled. She opened the fashion magazine for all to see. It was called Storm. Annabelle had never heard of it before. There was indeed a publication of a design similar to Let Yourself Go. It was also stated that it could change colors under the lighting of the environment. "There you have it, guys. Ice and Fire is a copy of my design." Marilyn's eyes turned cold as she looked at Annabelle provocatively. "It's a criminal offense to steal someone else's idea. I demand that Benton Group apologize, destroy all the Ice and Fire products, and also pay me $50 million as compensation." A tumult of surprised shouts broke out in the room immediately. $50 million wasn't a big deal for a company like Benton Group, but its public image was. For many decades, the company had been in a good light. It had never been accused of any slight misappropriation, let alone something as serious as plagiarism. However, it was indisputable to the guests and reporters here. The magazine Marilyn presented proved beyond reasonable doubt that her design came out first before Ice and Fire was conceived. Annabelle couldn't help but look at the platform.
Rupert was seated there with his legs crossed leisurely as if he wasn't disturbed by the drama going on at all. He suddenly gave a bright smile. His eyes sparkled with trust and confidence. He believed that Annabelle could handle the situation well. Seeing this, Annabelle smiled back and turned to look at Marilyn. Where was this magazine published? I have never heard of Storm, let alone seen one before now. Marilyn pursed her lips and said in a contemptuous tone, it shows how unexposed you are. For your information, this magazine is published in France. You haven't been there, so that explains why you don't know it. Oh, so, the country of publication is France. Annabelle nodded her head, pretending to be impressed. As far as I know, France is a francophone country. Why is Storm in English? Marilyn was taken aback, but she managed to say, English is widely spoken in France too. Besides, this particular edition was published for the English-speaking audience. Annabelle took the magazine, raised it high, and asked, has anyone ever seen or heard about this magazine before now? Many of the guests here were top players in the fashion and jewelry industry. The people who fell under this category exchanged awkward glances. None of them had seen or heard of Storm before. Marilyn, a respected designer like you should be able to get a spot at an internationally known magazine. Why did you choose a magazine no one else has heard of? The origin of this magazine is questionable, so it's impossible to trust its authenticity. I'm afraid you can't use this as proof that Benton Group stole your design, Annabelle said with a bit of irony in her tone. The reporters nodded, agreeing with her. Top fashion magazines always published works from respectable designers and brands. It made no sense that Marilyn chose an unknown magazine when she was spoiled for choice. Marilyn's expression changed. The design is mine, so I have every right to choose where it's published. Stop trying to fool the public. Admit your wrongs and apologize to me for stealing my design this minute. I'm afraid you are the one to apologize. Annabelle's eyes suddenly darkened. You are the thief. Let Yourself Go is a carbon copy of Ice and Fire. Stop playing the victim when you are not. Chapter 102. The original designer is Leo. Marilyn's face turned livid at Annabelle's words. Annabelle Hewitt, this is pure slander. If you don't apologize to me right this instant, I'll call the police. Do it, Annabelle said calmly, a mocking smile tugging at the corners of her lips. Anyway, you're the plagiarist here. It'd be good to call the police. One of the reporters immediately pricked up his ears. Miss Hewitt, do you have any evidence that proves that Marilyn plagiarized? Can you tell us why you said that Marilyn was a plagiarist? Another reporter chimed in. Staring at Marilyn, Annabelle explained, I don't know how you were able to copy the idea, but the person who came up with the idea of gems changing colors under different lights is Leo. Leo. A collective gasp sounded in the room. Leo was a world-renowned, mysterious fashion designer. No one ever saw Leo's true face or knew their gender. Was this idea originally Leo's? If this was true, how did Annabelle know? Miss Hewitt, are you saying that this idea came from Leo? Is that true? A reporter asked eagerly. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Annabelle's tone was confident and calm. If you have any questions, ask Anika Mendoza, the director of Leo Studio. She's here today. 2 days ago, Annabelle reached out to Anika as soon as she saw the news regarding Love Jewelry. Anika immediately booked a flight to Daubug, and together, the two women hatched a plan to deliver the final blow to Love Jewelry in today's press conference. As if on cue, Anika, who was sitting in an inconspicuous corner, slowly stood up. She took off her glasses and smiled at Annabelle knowingly. Oh, my God. It's really Anika. Chaos erupted in the crowd. It was known to all that Leo Studio was one of the top clothing studios in the world. Normally, only the members of the royal family could see someone as important as Anika. But here she was, at Benton Group's press conference. Miss Mendoza, is what Miss Hewitt said true? The reporters swarmed towards Anika in a frenzy, eager to get the answers from her. Miss Mendoza, Was it Leo's idea? Did Marilyn plagiarize Leo's concept? Being bombarded by the reporter's questions, Anika coughed slightly and waved her hand, asking everyone to be quiet. The crowd quieted down obediently, and she cleared her throat and finally said, "Yes, that's right. It was Leo's idea, and Marilyn plagiarized it." Bullshit. Marilyn's expression changed the second Anika spoke against her. "I came up with the idea first. I even published it 2 months ago. Do you have any evidence to prove that the idea was originally Leo's?" Anika sneered coldly. "I hate to break it to you, Marilyn, but Leo applied for a patent a year ago. It just hasn't been made public yet." "A patent? How could it be possible?" Marilyn bit her lip nervously. "Prove it." Anika had expected such a response, so she calmly pulled a document out of her bag. "Everyone, look here. This is Leo's patent certificate, which has already been verified by the International Patent Bureau. Originally, Leo intended to use this invention on the buttons of his next clothing line, but the patent's scope also includes jewelry design. It turned out that Leo was the original designer." Marilyn was at a loss for words. All the color drained from her face, and she wanted to defend herself, but she didn't know how. "Marilyn, you plagiarized Leo's designs and slandered Benton Group. Our company will sue you shortly," Anika said, narrowing her eyes at Marilyn. Feeling the disdainful gazes of the crowd, Marilyn tried her best to keep her cool. Nonetheless, she couldn't help but glare at Annabelle with unmasked hatred. It was supposed to be a flawless plan. Benton Group was supposed to be ruined today. But the plan went awry. And she was losing miserably. Anika. Wasn't she supposed to be abroad? Why did she show up at Benton Group's press conference today? Why would Anika agree to Annabelle's invitation? Did Annabelle know everything beforehand? Did she set a trap for her at the press conference? Just then, the young reporter hired by Marilyn asked, "Now that we know that Leo is the original designer, does that mean that Annabelle and Benton Group also plagiarized Leo's work?" Even if it proved that Marilyn was a plagiarist, it wouldn't be a failure to drag Benton Group into trouble. Anika smiled. "No, Benton Group has partnered with us, and our studio authorized Benton Group to take charge of Leo's patent. In a word, Annabelle didn't plagiarize. The real plagiarist is Marilyn." As Anika spoke, she unveiled another document. It was the authorized agreement between Leo Studio and Benton Group. When Rupert saw the agreement, his expression darkened. When did Annabelle sign this agreement? Why didn't he know about this? Annabelle's performance today far exceeded his expectations. Not only did she quash Love Jewelry, but she also put ice and fire under the limelight. Still, Rupert was a bit perplexed. Why did Anika show up? Annabelle didn't look surprised. It seemed that she was expecting Anika to be here. But how did Annabelle know Anika? When did they sign such an agreement? At this moment, Marilyn was surrounded by reporters. Why did you plagiarize Leo's idea? Now that your crime has been exposed, how do you feel? Marilyn's expression darkened. I'm sorry. I won't be answering any questions today. She tried to weave her way past the reporters when a cold voice suddenly boomed. Stop. Annabelle looked up and saw Rupert suddenly walking forward with steady steps. His cold gaze was trained on Marilyn. What do you think you're doing? Did you think you could just leave after slandering Benton Group? Marilyn couldn't help but shiver when she met Rupert's sharp eyes. She took a step back and asked falteringly, What do you want? Apologize to Annabelle. Rupert said coldly. What? Why should I apologize to her? Marilyn hissed through gritted teeth. Leo's the designer. What does Annabelle have to do with it? Because you plagiarized Annabelle's design. Rupert said. Chapter 103 Celebration Dinner. What do you mean? Marilyn's face darkened. Frowning, Rupert said, apart from changing colors in response to the light, The other parts of your design are similar to the Ice and Fire series, too. You took Annabelle's design as a basis and created the Let Yourself Go series. Marilyn's body began to tremble involuntarily. She took a few deep breaths to force herself to calm down. Do you have any proof? Shooting a razor-sharp glare at Marilyn, Rupert answered coldly, Archie Craig admitted he stole Annabelle's drawing and sold it to you. Archie Craig? Hearing Rupert's words, Annabelle was slightly surprised. If she remembered correctly, Archie was a design assistant in the design department who had only been working at the company for less than a year. He didn't participate in the Ice and Fire project. How could he have stolen the design and sold it to Marilyn? Marilyn turned white as a ghost upon hearing this. Indeed, it was Archie who sold her the design of the Ice and Fire series. At that time, she thought the design was innovative. Once she heard the original designer was an unknown secretary from Benton Group, Marilyn had a devious plan. She and the president of Love Jewelry went over it. In order to crack down on Benton Group and maintain Love Jewelry's position in the jewelry industry, she not only tried to be the first to release the Let Yourself Go series but also accused Benton Group of plagiarism at the press conference. However, she didn't expect her total demise would arrive today. Annabelle invited Anika here and pointed out that the original creator was Leo. Now, Rupert revealed who stole Benton Group's design and sold it to her. As for Storm, I've hired someone to look into it and confirmed there is no such magazine, Rupert pointed out. You got Annabelle's design a month ago. How were you able to publish the article in the magazine 2 months ago? Marilyn bit her lip and was about to say something when the big screen in the middle of the meeting room suddenly lit up. A series of evidence proving that Marilyn's designs were plagiarized was being displayed. Even her graduation design was plagiarized from her roommate. But because Marilyn's father was influential, she could easily solve everything by using money to rebuild her image as an international jewelry designer. The ironclad evidence was bared before her. Marilyn's face turned pale as she screamed, "Turn it off! Quickly!" But no one paid her any attention. I didn't expect Marilyn, a world-renowned master of her craft, to be such a shameless woman. Not only did she plagiarize but she accused others of plagiarizing. The audacity. Bah! I've always admired her, treated her with respect for her globally acclaimed skills, and even studied her pieces. It turns out she plagiarized everything. Everyone was talking about what she committed. The jewelry design expert image Marilyn had worked hard on to create over the past few years was destroyed in mere seconds. Annabelle couldn't help but smile as she looked at Marilyn, who everyone detested at that moment. She didn't expect Rupert to be able to dig deep into and unveil Marilyn's multiple misdeeds in just 2 days. Marilyn couldn't escape losing her high standing and spotless reputation this time. In the face of all the overwhelming abuse and criticism, Marilyn's face twisted. Realizing the sticky situation she was in, she pretended to faint to the floor. Security arrived and escorted her out of the room. Well, so much for plagiarism. I solemnly declare that Benton Group strictly adheres to the principle of putting its customer first. We will do our best in every task and will never commit acts such as plagiarism that will certainly damage our company's reputation. Annabelle's statement won thunderous applause from everyone present. Despite the plagiarism incident, the Ice and Fire press conference achieved exceptional success. Once the press conference was over, many companies showed their interest in Ice and Fire series. Brett was very satisfied with the press conference as well. We'll be holding a celebration dinner tonight. I hope you'll be attending, Annabelle admitted with a smile. Rupert nodded slightly and whispered in Annabelle's ear, I'll pick you up tonight. Annabelle looked back and smiled at him, their lips so close to touching. The intimate interaction between the two made Heather green with envy. Marilyn is useless. Heather thought Annabelle would be the one convicted of plagiarism today, but the tables had been turned. A fierce look flashed across Heather's eyes. It doesn't matter. I have a big gift for you at tonight's celebration dinner. Just wait, Annabelle. The celebration was being held at Imperial Hotel. Brett happened to live there too. After the press conference, he returned to his room to rest. Just as he was about to change into his party attire, the doorbell suddenly rang. Brett thought it was a cleaner doing housekeeping, but when he opened the door, he saw Annie standing outside. "Annie, why are you here?" Impatience flashed across Brett's blue eyes. "I've made it clear to you that we broke up."
"I know."
Annie lowered her eyes.
"Brett, I'm not here to pester you."
Brett asked in confusion, "Then what are you doing here?" Annie pursed her lips and said in a low voice, "I know I've gone too far in the past. I shouldn't have hated Annabelle. She scolded me because I was in the wrong. I'm sorry for everything I've done." After a pause, she continued, "So I'm begging you to take me to the dinner party tonight to formally apologize to Annabelle."
"I see."
Brett pondered on her request. Seeing that he might agree, Annie seized the chance and said, "Brett, I know I did something wrong. Please give me a chance to apologize to Annabelle, okay?"
"All right."
Brett agreed reluctantly, realizing that Annie had repented for her misdeeds. The dinner party was set at 8 o'clock. At around 7 o'clock, many celebrities who attended the dinner arrived at the banquet hall. Here and there, a few reporters were seen carrying all kinds of cameras. This afternoon's press conference was already a huge success. Perhaps something even more exciting would happen at the dinner party. No one wanted to miss any news.
"Mr. Benton is here,"
someone announced. The noisy banquet hall suddenly quieted down. Chapter 104. "May I have this dance at the venue for the party?" Annabelle and Rupert stood side by side in front of the rotating glass door that reflected their figures. Rupert turned his head to look at his fiancée. His eyes first fell on her cleavage, then on her hot hourglass figure. His eyes glistened with excitement. He arched his arm and said in a deep voice, "Shall we?" After hesitating for a second, Annabelle held his arm. It would be so strange if they walked in separately. After all, she was his date for the party. Annabelle was rarely this obedient, so Rupert couldn't help smiling in amazement. The moment the couple walked in together, they drew the attention of the guests already inside the hall. Rupert was in a bespoke black suit. He looked dashing as always. He became the center of attention in a matter of seconds. Annabelle wasn't overshadowed by her dashing fiancé. She turned heads, too. The long white dinner gown she had on complemented her hourglass figure. She was graceful, to say the least. It was as if a queen had left her throne to dine with mortals. No one could take their eyes off her. Like a swarm of flies, some reporters surrounded them and aimed their microphones at Rupert's lips. They bombarded him with questions. "Mr. Benton, did you throw tonight's celebration party for Annabelle? Are you going to get married to her?" Finley stepped in and opened his arms.
"I'm sorry, Mr. Benton can't take any of your questions now."
Annabelle leaned in close to Rupert and muttered, "These reporters do have a lot of questions." Rupert smiled at her. "As the fiancé of such an important man, you have to get used to such things."
"Oh, not again."
Why did he call her his fiancé again? She already made things clear to him. Why was he speaking as if she agreed to marry him for real? Feeling extremely awkward, Annabelle changed the topic. "By the way, how did you know that it was Archie who sold the design to Marilyn? Finley found it?" Rupert narrowed his eyes slightly and frowned. Unearthing the culprit was just a walk in the park. Only a few people knew about the ice and fire design. "How can that be? Archie didn't take part in the project." Annabelle was confused. "But an ace did. Archie is an ace's boyfriend," Rupert explained.
"Oh, I see,"
Annabelle exclaimed. "But why did he do that? He must have known that his actions could cost his job and even an ace. Why did he risk it?"
"Well, money can make a greedy person do anything," Rupert said with a shrug.
"Archie betrayed his girlfriend for money." Maybe money was indeed a factor. But Annabelle couldn't shake off the thought that there was more to this. As Annabelle tried to fathom things, Rupert suddenly said, "It's my turn to question you now."
"Huh?" Annabelle jolted back to reality.
What do you want to ask? What's between you and Danica? And when did you sign the authorization agreement?
Rupert leaned in close and whispered in her ear.
Why didn't you inform me?
Annabelle was stunned. She couldn't tell him that she was Leo. After failing to come up with a perfect lie, she looked up at him with big eyes and said playfully, take a guess.
Heather, who was seated at a table not too far away, saw the two whispering.
Girl, look at how they are behaving, so lovey-dovey. Ugh.
Men are scum. Bella added fuel to the fire.
Almost crushing the glass of red wine in her hand, Heather glared at Annabelle and said, that slut is only good at seducing men. Anyway, I'll let her seduce men as she likes tonight.
What do you mean?
Bella asked curiously.
Heather whispered something into her friend's ear and capped it off with, that's my big surprise for Annabelle tonight. She will be degraded when the time comes.
Bella's eyes lit up after she finally understood the plan.
She gave her a thumbs up and said, girl, you are so smart.
With this plan, we will be able to deal with Annabelle tonight without anyone suspecting us. I love it.
Of course, I'm smart, Heather said with a flip of her hair.
As long as Annie succeeds, we will just wait for a while before sending Rupert and the reporters over. He will see that his so-called fiancée is actually a slut.
Bella nodded.
Rupert is a proud man. He would never stay engaged to a woman who dares to sleep with someone else in public. I'm sure he will break off the engagement there and then. Even though he's currently under her spell, he will come to his senses once he sees that she's a whore, Heather said, smiling evilly.
Yes, he will surely drive that bitch away. And then, he will come back to you.
Girl, be prepared to take your rightful place, which is by Rupert's side.
Bella flattered her.
Heather smiled more brightly and looked around the hall.
By the way, where is Annie?
I haven't seen her yet. Hasn't she arrived?
The success of the plan was dependent on Annie.
Where the hell was she?
Did something or someone stop her from coming?
Or did she just change her mind?
Just as Heather began to panic, Bella pointed toward the entrance and said excitedly, there she is.
Heather saw Annie walk in with Brett and heaved a sigh of relief.
The next second, her eyes sparkled with fierceness and determination.
Just wait and see, Annabelle. I'll ruin you tonight, she mumbled, taking a sip of wine.
It was about 8 o'clock when the party began officially.
Soft and melodious music began to play as the host got on stage.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Benton Group's celebration dinner. Now, let's make welcome the CEO with a warm applause.
Under the warm applause, Rupert gracefully went up the stage.
The golden spotlight was on him. It made him look like a king who was about to address his subjects from his high throne.
After clearing his throat, Rupert said in a clear voice, thank you all for coming to celebrate with us. The Ice and Fire Jewelry Series was launched today, marking the entry of Benton Group into the jewelry industry. This wouldn't have been possible without the help of someone special. I'll like to thank this person tonight.
Rupert paused and looked at Annabelle with loving eyes.
Please give it up for my beautiful fiancée, Annabelle. He announced, gesturing toward her.
A thunderous round of applause rang out, and countless envious eyes were focused on Annabelle, which made her a little embarrassed.
What was wrong with him? How could he describe her like that in front of all these people?
Annabelle's heart felt warm, but she was uncomfortable at the same time.
Just as she was blushing, she heard Rupert's melodious voice again.
Annabelle, may I have this dance?
Chapter 105 Rupert's Dance with Heather. The moment Rupert finished speaking, he approached Annabelle. He offered her his hand and asked politely, may I?
He looked like Prince Charming, and Annabelle was entranced.
She couldn't refuse his offer to dance.
Of course, Annabelle replied with a smile and placed her hand in his.
Rupert led Annabelle to the dance floor.
As they moved in harmony with the music, they hardly seemed to touch the ground. It was their first dance, but they fit perfectly together. Their coordination seemed effortless. It was as if they had been partners for years.
Annabelle, are we in sync?
Rupert bowed his head and spoke quietly so that only his partner could hear.
"We're okay," Annabelle replied.
"But your steps are a bit too quick. Slow down a little."
Rupert leaned even closer and whispered in her ear, "I wasn't talking about the dance."
His breath was warm against the side of her face, and she felt an indescribable itch. She grew hot in the face. She and Rupert were indeed on good terms. Many things had happened in the past month. Nina had wronged Annabelle for pushing her into the water. Annabelle had found the recording and exposed Nina, while Rupert found the video to reveal her crime. This afternoon's press conference was another example. In response to Marilyn's accusation of plagiarism, Annabelle called Anika to prove that she was the designer of Ice and Fire, and Rupert discovered that it was Archie who had stolen and sold Annabelle's designs to Marilyn. They worked so well together, it was as if fate intended them to be connected.
"We are in sync," Annabelle conceded with a smile.
Rupert's heart was warmed by Annabelle's words, and his expression softened involuntarily. In his most tender tone, he asked, "Since we're so in sync, would you reconsider my proposal?"
"Rupert's proposal?"
Annabelle looked into his eyes, and her heart rate increased. She knew what he was talking about. Whether they were in sync or not was one thing, whether they were suitable for each other was another. Annabelle couldn't accept a serious relationship with a man who still pined for another woman. Even the thought of her turned Annabelle cold.
"Don't you think it's inappropriate to talk about that here?"
"Really?" Rupert asked with raised brows.
"Of course," Annabelle coldly responded.
"Besides, I've been very clear. Try not to be so forgetful, will you?"
Rupert's expression quickly darkened.
Frustrated, he remained silent, and they continued the dance. This man, he was angry with her again.
How mean.
Annabelle kept these thoughts to herself and focused on the dance. As she watched the handsome couple dance, Heather felt her jealousy mount. Rupert had indirectly admitted to his relationship with Annabelle when he asked her for the first dance. The whole room was watching them, and Annabelle was being lavished with attention. What was this simple country girl's secret? How had she managed to enchant Rupert so completely?
"Don't worry about it, Heather.
Annabelle won't be smug for long," Bella said in an attempt to comfort her friend. Heather regained her composure and averted her eyes for the offensive scene on the dance floor.
"Annabelle, enjoy it while you can," she said through grit teeth.
When the song that Rupert and Annabelle were dancing to ended, the banquet began. Everyone had a compliment for Rupert, who responded politely to their flattery, but without emotion. Several toasts were proposed, and he ended up drinking a few glasses of wine. When he looked around for Annabelle, she seemed to be gone. Put off by the liveliness of the party, Annabelle moved to a quiet corner. She was about to get some cake when an attractive voice asked, "May I sit here, Annabelle?" The voice belonged to Rory.
"I don't mind. Take a seat if you want to," Annabelle answered without trying to hide her indifference.
Rory took a seat next to her. "I never got the chance to finish telling you about my plans for Star Entertainment." He and Annabelle had made a date to discuss his plans over dinner, but Rupert had derailed the evening.
"Okay. Email it to me, and I'll take a look when I have time."
Annabelle sipped at her orange juice. Rather than agree, Rory suddenly changed the subject.
"Annabelle, can I ask you a question?"
Annabelle nodded.
"Sure. What is it?"
"Your relationship with Rupert, is it really just contractual?" Rory asked, even though he knew it wasn't.
Annabelle answered with question of her own.
"Why do you want to know?"
Rory was encouraged by this reply, so he continued with another question.
"Have you ever had genuine feelings for Rupert?"
"Genuine feelings?"
Annabelle had been avoiding this, and inwardly, she cringed. The truth was that she didn't know how she felt about Rupert. However, she was certain that Rupert's feelings for Candy were genuine and that she couldn't accept it. As she was thinking these thoughts, her annoyance began to show on her face. She pursed her lips and stated,
No, I don't have romantic feelings for Rupert. Our relationship is contractual, and nothing more. Rupert was hiding in the shadows nearby and overheard the conversation. He had been looking for Annabelle. And he spotted her sitting next to Rory in the corner. Annabelle's voice was dismissive. I don't have romantic feelings for Rupert. Our relationship is contractual, and nothing more. Rupert approached with a forbidding expression. Could you repeat that for me, Annabelle? Annabelle was stunned. Rupert appeared out of nowhere. Did he hear the conversation between Rory and her? I'm sorry, but no, I don't like to repeat myself. Her eyes met Rupert's, and his unhappy glare seemed to freeze her in place. Heather chose this moment to approach Rupert. Would you like to dance? She asked coquettishly. Rupert paused, then agreed, though his voice stayed cold. Really? Heather couldn't believe her good luck, nor could she prevent the note of ecstasy in her voice. Was she dreaming? Rupert remembered that night when Annabelle was jealous because she thought he and Heather had sex. He smiled at the opportunity that Heather was presenting him now. He made sure Annabelle was watching before wrapping an arm around Heather's waist and leading her to the dance floor. Chapter 106, Fake Olive Branch. I know you have feelings for me, Rupert. Heather lost her cool and leaned on Rupert, rubbing her bosom on him. Rupert ignored her, and the corner of his eye was fixed on Annabelle. The sight of Rupert and Heather embracing each other on the dance floor made Annabelle sick to her stomach. Rolling her eyes, she stood up and walked to the door. Annabelle, where are you off to? Rory followed her in a hurry. Annabelle halted in her tracks and reluctantly turned to look at him. I'm not feeling well. I want to be alone. With that, she walked out of the hall. Rory's heart sank as he stared at her receding figure. Was her sudden ill health because of Rupert? Rory saw the way Annabelle's face changed when Rupert and Heather went to the dance floor together. Although Annabelle never admitted it, Rory had a hunch that she had feelings for Rupert. Annabelle always said she disliked Rupert and couldn't wait to break off the engagement, but why was she upset upon seeing him dancing with Heather? The realization made Rory sad. As he stood there, feeling dejected, Bella walked up to him and greeted him with feigned surprise. What a coincidence. Bella had been staring at him for ages. She couldn't take her eyes off him all evening. She had been calculating how to strike up a conversation with him, so she took the chance as soon as she saw him standing alone. Rory glanced at her coldly. Oh, it's you. Yes, it's me. Do you remember me? Bella reached out her hand. May I have this dance? No, you can't. Those cold and straightforward words shattered Bella's hopes. Ignoring Bella, Rory went back to the table he earlier shared with Annabelle and held a glass of red wine tightly. He looked at the glass until he saw his handsome reflection in it. Bella's face turned blue and pale. She clenched her fists. It was all because of Annabelle. Rory loved Annabelle too. What was so good about Annabelle that so many men wanted her? Resentment and malice flashed through Bella's eyes. She couldn't wait to see both Rupert and Rory so disappointed in Annabelle later tonight. Bella impatiently scanned the hall for Annie. When she saw Annie standing before the buffet, Bella strode to her and pretended to serve herself some food too. Have you seen Annabelle? Annie hadn't seen the target anywhere around. Knowing that Bella was a friend of Heather's, she couldn't help asking about it. Annabelle. Bella pointed at the door. I just saw her go out. She went out. Annie frowned deeply, wondering if Annabelle would return soon. She was a little anxious. What if Annabelle didn't return? Wouldn't her chance be wasted? It had taken her great effort to convince Brett to bring her to the party. She had prepared everything ahead of time. She just couldn't let all her efforts go down the drain. Do you have something important to tell Annabelle? She just left, so you should be able to see catch up with her if you leave now, Bella suggested. Okay, thank you. Hearing this, Annie ditched her plate of food and headed for the door. It was quiet and cool outside. Standing on the balcony of the second floor,
Annabel leaned against the railing and looked at the stars in the dark right sky. Her mind was somewhere else.
Snap out of it, Annabel.
It's none of your business that Rupert and Heather are dancing. Why are you affected by that?
Annabel talked some senses into her head as she patted her cheeks.
A cold wind suddenly blew, making her shiver. She turned and was about to walk back to the banquet hall when she heard a female voice.
There you are.
A blue-eyed blonde appeared. It was Annie.
Thinking of the unpleasant encounters she had with Annie in the past, Annabel put on her guard.
Were you looking for me?
She asked with a frown.
Yes.
Annie walked over, carrying a tray that had two glasses of red wine.
I came to apologize to you, she uttered, holding out one of the glasses to Annabel.
You came to apologize.
Annabel knitted her eyebrows in suspicion.
Annie, of all people, came to apologize.
Impossibly.
There must be something fishy going on.
Annie nodded and said sincerely, I know we didn't get along, but I want to make peace.
Everything that happened is my fault.
Brett has opened my eyes to this.
Please forgive me for everything.
If you accept my apology, let's toast to forgiveness and new beginnings, okay?
I'll accept your apology, but we don't have to drink.
Annabel looked down at the glass in Annie's hand. The Annie she knew would never extend the olive branch. She suspected that the wine was probably drugged or even poisoned.
Annie grew impatient after Annabel turned down the drink.
I sincerely apologize to you. If you don't drink the wine, it means you refuse to forgive me.
And why should I do that?
Annabel uttered sarcastically, folding her arms.
You.
Annie was on the verge of losing her temper. But when she thought about the plan, she suppressed her anger and pouted again.
It seems you haven't forgiven me. Brett will be so mad at me if he finds out. I love him with my life. I don't want to lose him.
Annabel wasn't fooled by her fake tears.
What does that get to do with me?
Annie bit her lip and explained, Brett asked me to apologize to you tonight. I promised him that I would get your forgiveness. Please have mercy on me. Drink this wine to show that you have forgiven me.
Since Annie gave it her all just to make her drink the wine, Annabel grew curious.
What exactly did Annie have up her sleeves?
Annabel wanted to find out, so she decided to play along.
All right. After giving it a thought for a while, Annabel took over the glass of wine as if she believed Annie's words.
Since you apologized so sincerely, I have no choice but to accept it.
Annie hit a high note with her inner soprano voice, seeing that her plan was working. She took the other glass and clinked it with Annabelle's.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Annabel raised the glass to her mouth.
Instead of sipping the wine, she took a whiff of it secretly.
The wine was drugged, just as she had suspected.
Chapter 107 Meat Trick with Trick. Annabel raised her glass and pretended to gulp down half the wine in it.
Taking advantage of the dim light, she secretly emptied half of the glass's contents.
Annie didn't notice it. She couldn't conceal the wide smile on her face when she saw that Annabelle's glass was half empty.
It worked.
Annabel finally drank the wine. She was going to teach her a lesson later.
Noticing the expression on Annie's face, Annabel sneered inwardly. She deliberately swayed her body.
Holding the glass in her left hand, she supported her head with her right palm and slurred,
Oh, why do I feel so dizzy?
What's wrong with you, Annabel?
Are you okay?
Annie asked, pretending to be concerned.
I feel dizzy and warm.
Annabel acted as if she was in a lot of discomfort and leaned against the railing.
Did you eat something bad?
How about this?
I'll help you to the lounge to take some rest.
Annie struggled to tamp down the excitement buzzing through her. She stepped forward and kindly supported Annabel.
Okay, thank you.
Annabel looked flushed and restless. She kept pulling on her dress.
Why am I feeling so hot all of a sudden?
Hold on. Just rest in the lounge.
Annie held Annabelle's arm and began walking toward the lounge. She didn't expect the medicine to be so effective that it would start acting immediately.
Annie covertly sent a text to Heather, which said,
Everything is going according to the plan. Annabelle has consumed the glass of wine. I'm taking her to the lounge now. You can send someone here in 10 minutes. Annie and Annabelle arrived at the lounge. Annie helped her sit on the sofa and said with an evil smile, "Annabelle, rest well here." Then she spun on her heel and made to leave. She had only taken one step forward when she heard an icy voice behind her. "Stop." Annie was nonplussed and instinctively looked back. Annabelle suddenly sprung to her feet and glared at Annie fiercely. She was completely different from her weak appearance a few seconds ago. "Annabelle, aren't you?" Annie was shocked. "What?" Annabelle abruptly grabbed Annie's hand with disdain and shoved her hard, tossing her onto the sofa. Fear surged in Annie's heart. She struggled to get to her feet but was pinned down by Annabelle. "What are you doing?" Annie glared at Annabelle in fearful anger. Hadn't Annabelle been drugged? How was she all right now? Had she only been pretending to be out of her senses just now? What the hell was Annabelle doing? Brandishing the glass of wine in her hand, Annabelle said menacingly, "Since this wine is so delicious, I'll let you drink it." "I won't drink it. Let me go." Annie squirmed hard to push Annabelle away. Gripping Annie's face with one hand, Annabelle poured the remaining wine into her mouth. Seeing how shameless Annie was and how she tried to harm her with such a despicable method, Annabelle wouldn't be tender-hearted. Annie deserved to drink this wine herself and get a taste of her own medicine. Annie choked on the wine and coughed violently. "Annabelle. Bitch. You didn't drink that wine. You were just pretending." "No, I didn't drink it. So what?" Annabelle curled her lips in disdain. "I didn't expect you to use such a lowly method. But since you did, you can enjoy this glass of wine by yourself." "Annabelle, I won't spare you." Annie glared at Annabelle with immeasurable resentment. She wanted to stand up, but the drug took effect soon. She was so weak that she collapsed on the sofa. She felt so hot. Under the drug's influence, Annie began to feel warm and uncomfortable as if she was feverish. Seeing Annie lying helplessly on the sofa, Annabelle smiled scornfully. She spun on her heel and strode out of the lounge. On the banquet hall's dance floor, Heather clung tightly to Rupert, her heart pounding in her chest. This was the first time she had been so close to Rupert. He was willingly dancing with her. Did it mean that he also loved her? As this thought crossed her mind, her heart beat faster. She looked up and gazed at Rupert's gorgeous face obsessively. If only time could stop at this moment. While Heather was lost in her daydream, Rupert let her go abruptly. His eyes had never left Annabelle. The second he saw her get up and leave, he lost interest in dancing with Heather. "Rupert, where are you going?" Heather almost fell down and caught Rupert hastily. Rupert pushed her away with a blank face and said, "I have something to deal with." Heather's spirits plunged when she noticed that he had regained his usual indifference and detachment. They had been so close to each other just now. They had been dancing together in perfect sync. Why did he become so aloof with her in just a few minutes? Why? She loved Rupert so much. Why was he so distant? It was all Annabelle's fault. Just then, she received a text from Annie. When she saw Annie's message informing her that everything had gone according to their plan, she couldn't stop the smile that split her face. That was great news. Annabelle took the bait. They would see a good show soon. When Rupert saw Annabelle having sex with another man and cheated on him in public, he would be furious. This time, she could get rid of Annabelle once and for all. Rupert shoved Heather away and scrutinized the banquet hall, but he didn't see Annabelle. He frowned. What was up with this woman? Didn't his dancing with Heather bother her at all? Unable to spot her anywhere, he called her, but her phone was switched off. Rupert tugged on his tie in irritation. Suddenly, Heather's voice came from behind him. "Rupert. What is it?" Rupert impatiently asked. In a hesitant voice, Heather said, "There is something I'm not sure if I should tell you." "What's the matter?" M. Rupert asked expressionlessly.
I just saw Annabelle with a man. Heather bit her lower lip and left the sentence hanging on purpose, allowing him to imagine a million different scenarios. Annabelle and a man? Rupert's handsome face darkened. Where is Annabelle? Chapter 108 Backfired Plan. I just saw Annabelle flirting with another man. They walked to the lounge on the second floor, Heather lied. Annabelle threw caution to the wind. She's engaged to you, but she has no respect for you. Before Heather could finish speaking, Rupert began to match toward the second floor with a cold face. In the lounge on the second floor, Annie lay on the sofa and kept scratching her body. She pulled her dress like a mad woman. It was as if her entire body was on fire. Suddenly, the door of the lounge swung open. A man with gold-dyed hair walked in. He was the man that Heather had specially found for the job. It was planned that he would come to rape Annabelle once she was drugged. By the time they were having sex so wildly, Heather would show up with Rupert and make it seem like Annabelle cheated on him. The man's lustful eyes widened the second he saw Annie on the sofa. So sexy. He licked his lips lustfully. He couldn't wait to have sex with this beauty and get paid too. It was a windfall for him. Baby, every minute counts. Come on, let's enjoy this night. With that, the man pounced on her. Annie wasn't in her right mind. Under the influence, she wrapped her arms around him and moaned. Wait for me, Rupert. In the corridor, Heather chased after Rupert, who was taking giant strides to the said lounge. Many reporters were already gathered at the door of the lounge by this time. Heather had asked Bella to send an anonymous tip to the reporters about something they would like to get on camera. The reporters were all excited. The anonymous tip was about Rupert's fiancé having sex with another man in the lounge. It was sure to be breaking news. The woman Rupert had fondly introduced to everyone as his fiancé and danced with not too long ago was now cheating on him with another man. The public would go crazy once they got wind of this. It was exciting to think about reporting it. Just as the reporters were about to barge into the lounge, they saw Rupert walking toward them. They all sealed their lips and froze. The icy expression on Rupert's face could freeze the sun. The newsman shivered in his presence. However, they didn't want to leave and miss this explosive news. Suddenly, the faint sound of pleasurable moans wafted through the door of the lounge. The reporters exchanged shocked and excited looks secretly, but they didn't dare to make a sound in Rupert's presence. Was the anonymous tip true? Was Annabelle having sex with another man in there? Rupert, won't you go inside to catch them red-handed? Heather urged, seeing that Rupert halted in front of the door. She was itching to see Annabelle get caught in the act. She had come this far, so she wanted to see everything through to the end. Rupert was expressionless as he stared at the door. Was Annabelle really inside there? He couldn't believe it. Noticing the doubt on Rupert's face and his hesitation, Heather turned to the reporters and asked, "What are you all waiting for? Don't you know your jobs? Get in there." With Rupert around, the reporters didn't dare move an inch. They badly wanted to see and record what was going on in the lounge, but they couldn't risk their heads for it. At this moment, a clear female voice came. "What's going on here? Is something interesting happening?" That voice. Rupert knew that voice far too well. When he turned in the direction it came, his eyes fell on the beautiful face he always loved to see. It was Annabelle. She was outside. This meant she wasn't the moaning woman inside the lounge. Rupert's lips curved up in a smile as he breathed a sigh of relief. At this moment, Heather looked as if she had seen a ghost. Shouldn't Annabelle be having sex with the man in the lounge now? Why the hell was she outside? Heather suffered a headache. She took a deep breath and asked, "Why are you out here, Annabelle? What sort of question is that?" Annabelle fired back sarcastically. "Shouldn't you be in?" Heather couldn't wrap her head around what was happening. The scheme had been mapped out perfectly. Annie said everything went well. Why then was Annabelle here safe and sound? Who the hell was the woman in the lounge? Annabelle folded her arms and inquired,
Where should I be in?
Were you trying to say I should in the lounge?
Heather's face turned scarlet as she bit her lip.
Rupert turned to Heather with a frown.
Didn't you say that you saw Annabelle and a man in the lounge?
I must have seen it wrong.
Heather wiped the cold sweat on her forehead.
Really?
Rupert sneered.
Apologize to Annabelle now.
Heather clenched her fingers and glared at Annabelle angrily.
Apologize to her?
Why?
Despite the hostility she received, Annabelle smiled and said, Rupert, maybe Heather saw it wrong. She must have mistaken someone else for me.
In that case, we should first check if the woman inside looks anything like me.
Okay, Rupert said in a deep voice.
The reporters couldn't wait to kick open the door once they got permission.
Everyone was greeted with the wild scene of two naked people as soon as the door was opened.
A man was drilling Annie as she screamed and held onto him as if she would never let him go.
Oh, my God.
It's Annie.
A reporter screamed out after recognizing Annie.
Crack. Crack. Crack.
The shutter sounds of several cameras rang out the next second. How could the reporters not take photos of the shocking scene before them? It didn't matter anymore that Annabelle wasn't inside. As a popular actress and the girlfriend of Brett, the CEO of Lady Fashion, Annie was just as newsworthy. This would be a huge sex scandal once it got out. The countless flashes from the cameras and shocked murmurs made Annie a little sober. She held her previously dangling boobs once she realized she was naked. Her eyes were filled with horror as she faced the reporters who continued to take photos of her. After pushing the man away, Annie picked up her clothes and covered her private parts. She cried, "Stop! Stop taking pictures!" Some of the reporters went to her with their microphones and bombarded her with questions.
Who is this man?
Is he your new boyfriend? Is it true that you broke up with Brett? What was the cause of your breakup? Did you dump him because of this guy?
Annie's face turned deathly pale. She held her head and trembled all over. She didn't know this man or how she ended up in bed with him.
And then, it struck her. This was all because of Annabelle.
Annie shot her a murderous glare.
Pointing at her, she yelled, "Annabelle! That fucking bitch set me up."
Chapter 109 Trade blames the series of questions from the reporters brought Annie back to her senses. She stared daggers at Annabelle. It was all because of Annabelle. Annabelle had forced her to drink the drugged glass of wine, making her lose herself and get caught in the act by all these people.
Annabelle, you are at fault. You caused this.
Annie roared and charged at her target, attempting to slap her. However, a big hand grabbed her arm and smacked her down to the hard floor in a split second.
Ouch!
Annie cried and looked up, only to see Brett.
Brett's blue eyes gleamed with utter disgust.
I'm highly disappointed in you, Annie. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? You are supposed to be remorseful.
Those words pierced Annie's heart like a thousand knives.
Even Brett saw her having sex with another man.
My love, please listen to me. It's not what you think. I don't know this man at all, Annie said, trying to hold Brett's leg.
Honey, how can you say you don't know me?
The man looked so unhappy.
Covering his crotch, he got up from the sofa.
Didn't you say that you loved me more than anything in this world?
You even wanted to marry me. Why are you denying me now?
It's not fair.
In his mind, he had to act well so he would be paid in full. He insisted that he and this woman were in love. He didn't know Annabelle, so he felt Annie was the person he was supposed to frame. This was what he was hired for. He held Annie in his arms.
Don't be shy, honey. We are both adults. It's not a crime for us to make love. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Get your filthy hands off me. I don't know you.
Annie pushed him away.
Annabelle.
Annabelle is behind this.
She framed me.
I don't know how I got into this room. It's all a setup.
With her hair ruffled like that of a mad woman, Annie stood up and pointed at Annabelle.
She drugged me.
I have no idea who this man is.
She was drugged. The reporters grew even more curious when they heard this. It seemed there was more to this than met the eye. However, none of them had the guts to ask questions in front of Brett and Rupert now. Only at this moment did Heather finally understand what was going on. It appeared that Annabelle had played a fast one on Annie when the latter was about to drug her. Annie drank the drugged wine and ended up in this situation. She practically fell into the trap they set up for Annabelle. Annie was so useless. How did she mess everything up at the last minute? Annabelle, you are a bitch. This is all your fault. I won't let you get away with this. Annie turned crazy. She raised her hand, preparing to attack Annabelle again. Brett stood in front of Annabelle and shouted, "Why would Annabelle do this? Didn't you come here to apologize to her?" Annie looked away in guilty. "Yes, I apologize to Annabelle out of the goodness of my heart, but she set me up instead of forgiving me." "Enough." Annabelle sneered. "You shot yourself in the foot, you fool." Since she had already turned the tables, she didn't intend to make Annie suffer more. But she was having a rethink now that Annie was trying to put the blame on her. She wasn't going to allow that to happen. With her eyes blazing, Annabelle continued, "You came to me under the guise of apologizing. However, you drugged the wine that you offered me. You ended up drinking it and falling into the ditch you dug up for me." "You're lying." "I didn't." Annie yelled like a lunatic. She wasn't going to admit that her plan had backfired. "Look at this. It's the record of you buying aphrodisiac online." Annabelle threw the evidence to Annie. After forcing Annie into drinking the wine, Annabelle asked Anthony to check Annie's purchase records on Amazon, and he found something. The reporters were shocked to see the records. In no time, they turned against Annie. "Annie is at fault here. And I was beginning to think she was the victim. This is unbelievable. She's so despicable. Thank goodness Annabelle didn't fall into her trap." In the face of these criticisms, Annie's face turned pale. She wanted to defend herself, but words failed her. She just stood there looking dejected. "You had it coming, Annie. Don't mess with me ever again. Take care." With that, Annabelle turned around and left. She didn't want to stay here any longer. Rupert went after her. In the corridor, he asked, "Where are you going?" "Home," Annabelle answered indifferently. She was tired after everything she went through tonight. "Okay, I'll go with you," Rupert said in a low voice. "And why would you do that?" A look of sarcasm appeared on Annabelle's face. "Aren't going to dance with Heather anymore." "Dance with Heather?" With a chuckle, Rupert asked, "Don't tell me you are jealous."
"Me?
Jealous? Why should I be?" Annabelle rolled her eyes at him. Just then, the doors of the empty elevator opened. Rupert pulled her in. "What are you doing?" Annabelle shook off his hand and stepped back warily. Rupert took a stride to her. With his eyebrows raised, he said, "I know you are jealous, Annabelle."
"Ha ha.
How do you know that? Stop being so narcissistic." Annabelle flipped her hair and looked away. "I can see it in your eyes, Annabelle. Why are you fighting your feelings for me?" Rupert placed his hands on the wall of the elevator, confining her. Their bodies were so close that Annabelle could perceive his masculine fragrance. The temperature in the elevator changed. The two of them stared at each other until the elevator finally arrived on the first floor. With a ring, the elevator doors swooshed open. Annabelle finally came to her senses and pushed him away. "I don't know what you are talking about." She walked out and spun on her heels. She then said, "You can go home alone. I have something else to do." "It's already late. What else do you have to do?" Rupert narrowed his eyes. "It's none of your business. Don't follow me," Annabelle warned coldly. She then walked out of the hotel and hailed a taxi. Lost in thought, Rupert stared at the taxi as it went down the road. Where was Annabelle off to at this time of the night? Why did she tell him not to follow her? Was she going to see another man? In the back seat of the taxi, Annabelle was grumbling.
She took several deep breaths before she was able to text Anika.
Hey. Meet me at the bar for a drink. In the charming bar, Anika was already seated by the time Annabelle arrived.
Here.
Anika waved at Annabelle from her seat. Annabelle sat next to her and requested, "A glass of cocktail, please."
Anika handed the glass to her and looked at her with a smile.
"Girl, what's wrong with you? You look like someone annoyed you. What happened?"
"It's nothing."
Annabelle gulped her drink in one shot. The dim light shone on her. Her beautiful features weren't entirely visible for all to see. She looked soft, mysterious, and troubled at the same time. Studying her closely, Anika poured her another drink.
"Someone clearly made you angry. Let me guess. It was Rupert, right?"
Chapter 110 Love is Blind. The mention of Rupert ignited the irritation Annabelle was trying so hard to drown. She slammed the glass on the table and said, "Can you not talk about him?"
"Oh, it seems I guessed right."
Anika chuckled. "No offense, but you are being too hard on him. Judging by the things I heard about him while I was abroad, he's a good man. And I'm more convinced of it after seeing him today."
"What did you hear about him?"
Annabelle sucked her teeth at the thought of what Rupert said to her in the elevator.
"He's tall, handsome, rich, and powerful. If you ask me, you guys are a perfect match," Anika teased, pouring her another glass.
Annabelle drank it up in one gulp and spat, "Tacky.
I disagree."
Anika coughed.
"That wasn't what I thought when I saw you two at the press conference. You looked like a match made in heaven. Don't tell me you have no feelings for him after living with him for weeks."
"Stop talking nonsense."
Annabelle leaned back and took a deep breath.
"I don't feel a thing for him, and I don't think it would ever happen. My grandfather insisted I come here to stay with him for 3 months. We have already agreed that the engagement will be called off once the time elapses."
Anika shrugged and said, "In that case, let's make a bet."
"On what?"
Annabelle inquired indifferently. A mischievous smirk sat on Anika's face.
"Let's bet on whether you and Rupert will break off the engagement. If you lose, you have to give me your handmade necklace. What do you say?"
Anika always wanted the necklace.
Annabelle was excellent at fashion designing, computer hacking, and she could even make necklaces like a pro. This condition of hers only emphasized that she was convinced Rupert was the man for Annabelle.
"You won't be getting the necklace from me, then."
Annabelle smiled confidently.
"Enough about me. Tell me about you. Where's Jared?"
At the mention of Jared, Anika's eyes dimmed. She stared at the wine glass in her hand and said slowly, "He's currently volunteering in a rural school."
Annabelle was taken by surprise.
"What?
That's so thoughtful of him.
But is he going to give up your relationship?"
Jared Ortega was Anika's senior in college. He was a tall, handsome, and bright student. He was quite popular back then. The first time Anika met him was during a debate contest. They had a heated argument. Afterward, they hit it off and began dating. However, Anika's parents were against the relationship because Jared, who had lost his father when he was a child, was poor. Anika's family was wealthy and scholarly, so they wanted Anika to marry someone of the same class. This caused a huge quarrel between Anika and her family. She went abroad alone just to get away from them. One day, she bumped into some hooligans who wanted to take advantage of her. It was at this time Annabelle appeared out of the blue and rescued her. From then on, they became good friends. Anika became the manager when Annabelle set up Leo Studio, making them friends and business partners. Work was good for Anika, but she couldn't say the same for her relationship. She and Jared had maintained a lukewarm relationship over the years. Annabelle frowned, showing dissatisfaction. "If he loves you, he should follow you abroad and work hard just to prove your parents wrong. Why did he go to the rural area instead? It seems like he's not even putting up a fight for your love. I don't know what you love about him."
Anika sighed.
"Haven't you heard that love is blind? Once you love somebody, you only want to think about them. It's hard to fall out of love."
Annabelle was about to say something when a surprised voice interrupted her. "Hey,
Annabelle. She turned around and saw Marcel walking toward her.
Look who we have here.
Marcel.
Annabelle smiled at him.
Marcel was a regular in this bar. He came here to hang out with a few friends. He was excited to see Annabelle. This beautiful lady must be Anika. Rubbing his palms together, Marcel flashed Anika a playboy smile.
I have heard a lot about you.
Annabelle did the introduction.
Anika, meet Marcel. He's a popular actor.
I know him. I have seen him on TV a few times.
Anika shook his extended hand.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Marcel sat down without being invited. Then he pointed to the dance floor and suggested,
ladies, how about we hit the dance floor?
I came with some friends.
No, I'll pass. You two can go ahead.
Annabelle rubbed her temples, feeling more tired than she was before.
Marcel wasted no time taking Anika to the dance floor.
They stepped to the beat while Annabelle sat in the corner alone.
Once Annabelle's eyes fell on them, she couldn't help but remember how Rupert had danced with Heather.
What was on Rupert's mind?
One moment, he suggested that she should give their relationship a try.
And then he got entangled with Heather and they danced like a couple.
Was he trying to date Heather while also stringing her along?
Utterly disgusted at the thought, Annabelle gulped more than half of the wine straight from the bottle. She suddenly felt a little uneasy, so she went to the ladies' room.
The moment she got back, a man in a red shirt came and sat close to her. He whistled.
Hello, beautiful.
Why are you drinking alone?
How about we hit the dance floor?
After casting a sidelong glance at him, Annabelle ignored him and took a few more shots. She almost choked.
Akam.
She coughed, feeling intense pain in her throat.
The man, who had been ogling at her, tried to help her stand up.
Baby, you are drunk. Let me take you home.
Fuck off.
Annabelle shook off his hand in disgust.
Okay, you are fierce.
One like fierce women.
The man whistled again, having no intention to leave.
All he had in mind was having sex with this extraordinary beauty. He licked his lips as he stared at Annabelle's cleavage.
Money isn't a problem for me, girl. Just name your price.
Annabelle was on the verge of losing it.
If you love your life, you'll leave now.
Huh?
Oh, baby.
I like it rough. Just come with me. You can do whatever you want to me.
The lustful man pulled her.
Annabelle stepped on his foot with her heel. He yelped and let go of her immediately.
Fuck.
The man caught Annabelle's arm just as she was about to walk away. He tried to hug her forcefully.
You slut, I must fuck you tonight.
Bang. Annabelle smashed a wine bottle in the man's head as soon as she got her hand on it.
Blood seeped out immediately.
Ah. Bitch, how dare you?
The man held his bleeding head, taken aback by what just happened. His eyes turned bloodthirsty when he saw the blood on his hand.
Do you know who I am?
You can be the president, but I won't give a damn. If you don't want to die, you had better leave now. Get lost.
Annabelle shouted, brandishing the broken bottle in her hand.